Amen.
So as our brother David was speaking, and my mind went very quickly over all of the lectures and the gospel that has been presented, the verse that came into my mind that I just wanted to set before us is how very special we are to God. But Peter tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people of his own, that you and I should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, there's a reason, young people, saints, that God sets before us the blessed Lord Jesus, because it is the work that the Lord Jesus has done there on Calvary that has made you and I a very special people to him, a pearl of great price that he sold all that he might buy it. And as we look into this lecture, I want us to keep this in our minds, that when we speak about faith and faithfulness, it begins as we had in the very first address today. Everything begins and ends with God. He is the faithful God, and he delights that in calling us, that there might be these traces, these evidences of faithfulness in your life and my life, as we are those that would desire to glorify him in the scene of the Lord Jesus's rejection. Now, I have two great themes I want to set before us. I want you to turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16, and we're going to look at this young man, Timothy. And the two great points I want to set before us is, number one, the starting point of Timothy's faith. And then lastly, some suggestions on the secret to faithfulness. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he, that is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. He, Timothy, was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those quarters. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders who were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. If you turn over with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 1, just a few verses here, reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son or child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Now, we're familiar with this young man, Timothy, but we may not be familiar with how God works, that there might be a life set apart and made holy for him, that there might be a young man in the very first century, at the beginning of the church age, where there was great persecution, where the apostles and those who claimed the name of the Lord Jesus, some of them lost their lives, others were imprisoned, thrown in the stocks, that God would be working his work and his ways, that there would be a young man, Timothy, that would be separated for him. When we get to chapter 16, there had been already the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. They had gone through these regions, preaching the word of God in the synagogue in the cities of Lycaonia, this being Lystra and Derbe. And they spoke unto the Jews. And there was the effect of the Spirit of God that Jews and Gentiles responded to the word of God. But you know, wherever the word of God is working, young people, the enemy wants to come in and he wants to stop it. And so it was that because of that persecution and that threat, Paul and Barnabas go into Derbe and Lystra, and there they preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And there it is believed that it was there that Timothy's heart was captured by the word of God. And there was born there for God a young man, should I say, an infancy of faith that later on in his life would be useful to the Apostle Paul. You know, we speak and our title today is Faithfulness to God in a Day of Ruin. Well, I want you to connect the dots with what has been presented to us today. If you go back to the Old Testament and you look at Joseph, you'll find that there were challenges for anyone that was going to be separated unto God for his glory and for his youth, for his use. And therefore, Joseph, hands laid on him, cast in a pit, sold into Egypt, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, imprisoned. But how wonderful it is to know that God was with him and he prospered the way of Joseph there in the prison house. If we look at Abraham, though in a place of great idolatry, oh, God had his eye upon Abraham that he would bless him, bring him up out of that place. And we think of and can trace the struggles and the trials that Abraham experienced. And in the day of Daniel, there in captivity in the world in Babylon, wanting to change their language and name, give them their food that they might be defiled, that it should not surprise you that in the close of the historical period of the churches, the day in which we live, the day of ruin, that God would want you as young people to stand for him, though there's ruin and challenge all about you. And just as Abraham was able to stand because he had the revelation of the glory of God, the God of glory. And just like Joseph, who God never spoke to him directly, but he had the affirmation in his heart and soul that if he walked the path of righteousness, that God was going to be faithful to him. And in the end, Joseph was made to ride in Pharaoh's chariot. And oh, the blessed position of authority that Daniel never looked for, but was his, that God had given to him for faithfulness in the day and the times of the Gentiles, the times of captivity, that God wants to know that he will bless you if you are faithful to him. I think in the first lecture, our brother John gave us the definition of faithfulness. Well, faith means to believe. But faithfulness, from the perspective of Brother John's lecture is that we can rely upon God because he is trustworthy. That faithfulness from our perspective is that God wants to be able to look in us and see that we are a trusting people on him and that we are those that are loyal to him. So he is looking for that loyalty, that devotion of heart to him. And that's why Brother John Redekop set before us that if you and I are going to have any kind of success in being faithful to God in the day of ruin, it is never going to come from rules and regulations. It is going to come from love for the object of our hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so this is the context I'd like to place around Timothy. When Paul now comes back to the area in which he had first ministered the word, and there was the response to the Spirit's presentation of Christ, that he finds there in this place a certain disciple. And his name was called Timothy. And so I like to set before us, young people, that the first thing the Spirit of God wants us to see is that Timothy is called a disciple. He is a follower of the Lord Jesus. He was not simply following Paul and Barnabas, even as true as it is that they set before him the way of life, but they set before him the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was at the right hand of God. And if you and I are going to begin on this path of faithfulness, it is that we have to recognize that who we are following is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But then the name Timothy, it means valued of God. And I want us young people to understand that you are valuable to God. You're special. You're extraordinary. And it's not because there's something so wonderful in you in and of yourself. You're valuable to him. You're special to him, sanctified, set apart, and made holy because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and that finished work. And you see, that is why there was this certain disciple named Timothy, a valuable asset to the Lord Jesus. And it tells us a little bit about his home life. He was the son of a certain woman who we come to learn in the second letter to Timothy, whose name was Eunice, his mother. And there in that letter, he connects Timothy's walk of faithfulness to not only his mother, Eunice, but his grandmother, Lois. And I want to connect this thought to us because many of us on this call today can thank God that we have had a wonderful foundation, that we may be able to look back for one, two, or three generations, perhaps more, of faithfulness in the family line because they believed God and it was counted to them for faithfulness, and God bless a spiritual line. It is not by chance, my dear ones, that you have such a spiritual legacy. And this is what Timothy had. But you know, being the third generation is a tremendous challenge. The first generation has a direct understanding of the persecutions, of the trials and the tribulations, what it meant to stand for God. And the second generation comes along holding these things. And yet maybe perhaps not in as firmly as the first generation. And then comes along you in the third generation and perhaps the fourth generation. And you haven't had to stand and fight and strive. And so the things that we hold them loosely. And the love that we have for the Lord Jesus, it is not as burning and as fresh as it was to our grandparents and great-grandparents. But as our brother John mentioned earlier, Jami, that the Lord is testing us in this year 2020. He has, in his wisdom and his sovereignty, removed things from us that we had taken for granted. Oh, when you have Grove City and Bible camps and young people's meeting and assembly meetings. Oh, how you have to beg young people, come out to the prayer meeting. Oh, you know, this camp this weekend, come and go. Oh, maybe I'll see what I'm doing. And then you find out that it did nothing all week. And so the Lord is taking things away that he would test reality in your heart, in my heart. Don't miss the lesson. It is so that our hearts might be shaken up and drawn to him. So in Timothy, he had this great spiritual legacy. But God was going to test Timothy himself, like he tests you and I. He was well reported of by the brethren. I think Brother David spoke of the testimony that Daniel had before the world. Here it was, those with whom Timothy walked, that he had a good report. And I want to ask us young people, what kind of testimony and report do you have in the world amongst those with who you go to school, that in your neighborhood, right? Are we secret disciples, or do they know that we love the Lord and we belong to him? And what kind of testimony and report do you have of the local saints? Do they say of you, well, every time the assembly door is open, he or she is here? Or is it the opposite, that when you show up, it's almost like we should throw a party because you decided now you have some free time? That you're so unique in your attendance that it's a surprise when you come, and yet we say we love the Lord. We say, what kind of love is this if you only show up 13 times out of 52 weeks in a year? But Timothy's testimony was that he had a well report of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And I want you to understand, young people, that the challenges in his day are challenges like in our day. These were cities that had great influence in wealth and commerce and attractions. But Timothy said, I'm a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus at all costs. And it says, verse 3, him. This is how God works. He identifies the hims and the hers that he wants to separate because of a good report. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I want to make this point to us. Timothy had a good report. He was living well before the Lord and the brethren. But here was a test now if Timothy was going to be used in the ministry, that Timothy had to subject himself to the will of God and the desires of the Apostle Paul. He was born into a mixed family, Jew, Gentile. And to go amongst the Jews, Paul knew that Timothy's ministry would be rejected unless he fell under the law to be circumcised. And Paul took this young man, and I can only imagine the discussions to him to say, Timothy, you have a good report. The Lord wants to use you. But there's one thing that has to be done if we're going to be effective, fully effective to the Lord. There has to be the knife of circumcision applied to your life. And to apply to him physically. And the word of God gives us the sense that Timothy responded in a positive way. But there was a cost associated with this to Timothy. He was going to be with the knife physically. And he obeyed. You know, we've heard this word several times today, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the gift of eternal life. But faithfulness comes through obedience to the word of God. And Timothy here obeyed. He responded positively. He submitted unto the word of the apostle Paul for the testimony of Christ. And very much like what we find in the book of Joshua, there at Gilgal, there was the knife of circumcision. There was the time of reflection through healing. And this made him fit for the work that he was being called to. You know, young people, we need to understand the principle of Gilgal, the cutting away of the flesh, if we're going to be like a Timothy. If there's going to be devotedness, loyalty, love, and faithfulness to our God. Obedience. There has to be the flesh cut away. And that will make us fit for service. Let us see what the results were of Timothy's obedience. That as they went, verse 4, through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles. The apostles' doctrine, the very word of God that had been delivered to the apostles to this point, and they that were ordained of the apostles and the elders who were at Jerusalem. Now here's the result of a disciple, one who was set apart, one who has put the knife of circumcision to the flesh. And it says, and so were the churches established in the faith, and they increase in number daily. I'd like to suggest to us young people that Timothy is a young man that we would like to imitate in our lives. A young man of good report, a young man who had a believing mother and grandmother, who had genuine unhypocritical faith in the Lord Jesus, that what they said they did and what they did they said. Let your yea be yea and your amen be amen. Don't just put on your go to quote unquote church suit and dress, and then when it's all over, all the other evidences that are seen, whether it's in social media, whether it's in our dress, whether it's in our speech, it says something completely opposite of faithfulness to God. We are peculiar people. We are special to him. And he wants us to live in the dignity of who we are in Christ Jesus. In the few moments that remain, I want to talk to us about how do I do it? We've pointed you to, if you would, examples of individuals who were faithful. And I want to say for a moment that we're not talking about individuals that were perfect. There's only one perfect man. And I think sometimes young people who have spoken to me, they say, you know, sometimes we give the impression that we are to be perfect. And I said, oh, you know, I'm so sorry if that is the impression that we're given. What we want to do is we want to emulate the life of Christ. And the only way that we're going to effectively live a life that glorifies him, it is through the power and the energy of the Spirit of God. But we are not perfect. And if you read the first epistle to John, you'll understand very clearly that we're not perfect. And the reason why we need the advocacy of Christ. But I want to turn us to how do we accomplish these things. So Timothy was well respected of the Apostle Paul. Timothy was, he was someone who the Apostle Paul had left at Ephesus because he needed someone who was faithful to God, someone that he could rely upon. And I want to challenge us young people. Are we someone that God can rely upon? Can the brethren, can your parents, you know, rely upon the truthfulness of your word and your life and your testimony. Well, I like to suggest in the second, in the first epistle, because I love to be in the first epistle, because when we get to the second epistle, it's the day of ruin. And Timothy is standing, but here's where we find out what has helped him to stand. And Paul, in the first few verses, tells us once again what is the reason, the power, the authority behind faithfulness. Because in the first two verses, he speaks of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. So young people, we have to put things in proper perspective. You're young, you need to go to school. You're young, you need to graduate, and you need to go to college, and you need to be able to be productive in this world as we wait for the Lord Jesus. But we need to have before us God, who is our Savior. He is saving us not for this world that is under condemnation, but he's saving us to bring us into the blessedness of the Father's house, of the eternal day that is before us. Let us keep our eyes on God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Our hope is not in this world. It is not in the things that this world is presenting to us. So, you know, I pray all the time, young people, that you would minimize all of the time you spend on the social media networks and all the things you want to put up there that only glorify you. No, put things out that's going to glorify and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope that is before us. Now, Paul says to Timothy, if you're going to be faithful, and I want us to have an appreciation of these things, God first, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says in verse 3 that he had given a charge, a responsibility to Timothy. And he said there's some folks going around that are teaching things that are not consistent with what was given to me in the apostles. He says, you tell them, teach no other doctrine. So young people, the challenge to you and I as to the secret to faithfulness is to know the word of God and to stick to it. We were taught in our youth, develop the language of scripture. When you speak to someone who is reading the word of God, they bring in the verses of scripture. Difficult times, but they refer to that you can trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in him. Commit thy way unto him. And when there's a young person who's a believer that doesn't have the language of the scriptures in them, oh, they talk about, well, I think I should do this. And that man told me this. Young people, lay hold on the doctrine, the teachings of the word of God, because it's the foundation by which you're going to stand. The second one I'd like to turn to is in chapter 6. It says in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If I'm going to be faithful, young people, I have to have respect and honor for God, reverence for God, to know that he is not a man like you and I are, but that he is God over all, and that his eyes are upon us, and he sees all that is done. We are naked and open before him. We need to, even when we're in our homes on Zoom, and there's a meeting going on, and the word of God is open, and prayers being made, to recognize that I'm in the presence of God. I'm not there to sit and have a sandwich. I'm not there to have the TV on, because I'm in the presence of God. And so godliness, reverence towards God, is going to bring about faithfulness to him. And then it says, godliness with contentment, satisfaction with the place that God has put me in. Now, I recognize that as young people, you are going through school, you'll get jobs, and the Lord is going to put you in places where he would have you to be for his honor and glory. But this thought here of contentment is something that is in opposition to what we see in the world today. The world sets before you every second of the day. Follow the Kardashian. Follow this famous family. Get the big car. Use all your time up to build up your bank accounts and get everything that's big. And you know what it does? It ties you up that you have little time for God. And therefore, you have little time for faithfulness to him. Or there's a warning about getting everything in this world. And to the believer, it's the exchange of having little for God and for Christ. One song that always impressed me as a little boy, and one of the sent lines is, "Must I an empty-handed go?" You know, young people, you brought nothing into this world, and you're going to take nothing out. Get our priorities right, because it will help us to be faithful to him. All the things that we accumulate, you're going to leave them here. And what if I have spiritually that I'm going to present to the Lord Jesus if he gives me 20 years and 50 years and some 80 years? And all I've done is spent all my time adding to me and adding little to him. So hold fast the doctrine, godliness with contentment. And I want to just close with these few thoughts in verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things," the things that were written above, the love of money and all of the things that are in the world. Run away from those things. And that's not what my opinion is. That's not what Brother Chuck or Brother John's are and Brother David. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Run away from these things that are going to weigh you down. You have no time, not even your brain can be used for the Lord. No time to sit in his presence when we come together. No time for personal prayer time. Run away from these things. He says, "But follow after righteousness." Young people, what and who are you following? Follow the things that are right. Godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And if you do this, young people, you are going to be like a Timothy, like a Paul at the end of his life, who could say, "I fought the good fight." Because here he's telling Timothy, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life and unto which thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Don't have a divided heart. Fight the good fight. And then lastly, in verse 20 of the same chapter, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." The things to avoid. But I want to leave us with this thought. How do I? Here's the four or five things. The appreciation of God, our Savior, and our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, our hope. Hold on to the word of God. Are you reading and studying the word of God? Or you just open it up casually every now and then when you come to a meeting or we have sessions like this? No, start to get below the surface and get into the deep, wonderful fountains of the beauty of the word of God that speak of the Lord Jesus. Reverence God, young people. Now God seest me. Know that whatever you do in the quietness of your room, whatever you're surfing, whatever you're looking at on social media, the things that you post that have nothing to do with a good report, you need to stop, because that decries a lack of loyalty and devotedness to Christ. It says, flee the things that are in the world and follow after righteousness. Be those that are going to take up spiritual arms, having the whole armor of God, and fight the good fight of faith. And lastly, young people, Timothy was told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to commit these things to faithful men who will commit them also to others. Because God is interested in things going on in perpetuity from generation to generation, that his name would be glorified. And don't be the link that breaks down, that you drop the baton, that you would be the one whose hand is outstretched. And the older ones are looking to pass the baton onto you, that they can say, this is a faithful brother, this is a faithful sister, who's fought the good fight, who is going to guard the word of God and the testimony for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. We are special. We are wonderful because we are in Christ Jesus. And he wants us, beloved young people, to not only have faith in that finished work, but he wants us to be faithful to God in a day of the Lord. And the Lord encourage us. For his name's sake, amen.